Well, I think certainly for some, those who attend obviously will have a little bit better insight for each of the candidates running. But I think that, frankly, the broad electorate doesn't make these types of decisions until much closer to the election. They're going to want to see how the race evolves, what kind of statements the candidates make as issues change and circumstances arise. They'll probably, for better or for worse, wait for some of the advertising and the activity that goes on in campaigns and the like. So I still think no matter which party you're talking about, no matter what race you're talking about, it's still very early.
Do you think that some of the GOP voters might still be waiting, hoping that maybe a higher profile candidate such as Congressman Alan West or Congressman Connie Mack might decide to jump into the fray?
I think that's a possibility, but frankly, I think that kind of analysis is probably limited to party activists and the folks who pay close attention. Rank-and-file voters, I think, again, probably don't pay close attention to most any race, even arguably the presidential race, but certainly not a U.S. Senate race until we get much closer to the event.
What issues are among the most important for Republicans? Many are interested in the social issues, but what about economic issues and foreign policy issues? Are those more important, or are they really just looking for somebody who is most likely to defeat Senator Nelson?
You know, it's a combination. I think in this election year, probably the mix is balanced a little bit more highly in favor of those who are really just interested in the best candidate to beat Bill Nelson, because we all understand how truly critical it is to get control of the Senate from the Republican perspective and as many Republican votes as possible. So I think more than most years where, for example, if we already controlled the Senate, if we didn't have an urgent agenda to reverse some actions of the current administration, then people might have the luxury of preferring a candidate a little closer to their perspective than perhaps another candidate. But I think this year, the balance is going to be tilted a little bit more in favor of who is really the best general election candidate to defeat Bill Nelson.
You know, this campaign is being closely watched by both national parties and by political observers all over the country. Why is this Florida Senate race considered so important this year?
You know, honestly, I don't think it has anything to do with Florida as such. We just need the seat. The bottom line is that, you know, I'm confident many Republicans and a lot of independent observers and polls indicate that we have an excellent chance and I think a near certainty, frankly, of defeating the president. But to roll back some of the more offensive and damaging policies of the administration, we also have to have control of the Senate. And arguably, we have to have 60 senators in order to prevent a filibuster on the Democrat side from stopping some of the rollbacks that we have to do. So every Senate seat is critical. The reason this one probably gets a little bit more attention is because this one is regarded by most observers as winnable. You know, there are a whole bunch of seats around the state, around the country, both Democrat and Republican, that most observers would agree are probably not going to change hands. The number that potentially can is, you know, either high single digits or low double digits. And this being one of them, it's naturally going to be important. But whether in the larger national picture it's more important than, you know, a seat in Rhode Island or a seat in Missouri or what have you, is probably doesn't matter all that much to anyone outside of Florida.
Maybe so. But, you know, Florida, and in particular Central Florida's I-4 corridor, has really been ground zero for Republican politics this summer of 2011, with two nationally televised debates in the region this month, another Senate debate today, and, of course, the straw poll tomorrow. In your view, Lou, why is our region so important to Republicans nationally?
Well, we're spoiled here. Anybody who lives in Central Florida, Republican or Democrat, understands that if you've watched the last few presidential elections, you know that everybody shows up here. And it's really simple because this is the fulcrum. This is the tipping point for the nation. If you live in any of 40 states, your vote pretty much doesn't mean a damn thing. We know where most of the big states are going. We know where most of the little states are going. There's only 5 or 10 that really have a chance of going one way or the other. Florida is by far the biggest of those swing state prizes. And by chance, the central part of the state, and specifically the I-4 corridor, is really the area where the most swing voters are. There's reasons for that, by the way. It has to do with the age of the population and the transient nature of the population. We have more folks that pass through Orange County in Central Florida than other parts of the state. The populations tend to be more stable and a little bit older elsewhere. And so our population is a little bit more up for grabs. The candidates know that. Their consultants know that. The media knows that. Everybody knows that. And that's why they're here.
Now, you're also holding a straw poll this weekend to measure the presidential preferences of the attendees. Some political observers say these kind of mock elections so early in the process, such as the recent Iowa straw poll, for example, are fairly meaningless. But some of those same observers say this Florida straw poll is different in some ways. What's your take on that?
Well, I'll say two things. First of all, no straw poll is entirely meaningless. As long as the media covers it, people hear about it, it has value. You build momentum in ways large and small, and each little piece of momentum counts and it matters. So I would tell you that generally speaking, even though there's a lot of us who might not like for a straw poll to matter a whole lot, the reality is they do matter at least a bit. The reason that the Florida straw poll, however, I think is worth looking at a little bit more closely than Iowa is because of how it's structured. In Iowa, it was a self-selecting group of people who bought tickets to go to an event. They didn't pretend to be particularly representative of the party as a whole. They weren't selected from the party as a whole. They didn't come from the activists. They weren't a cross-section of the local executive committees of the various parties. But the one in Florida is all of those things. You know, most of the delegates were selected by lot from among people who applied. They are geographically distributed. They're not concentrated around a single city. And the vast majority of the appointees, and actually the vast majority of those who applied in the lottery system, are rank and file party activists, members of their local committees and that sort of thing. So they're a far more representative sample, of the population at large, rank and file Republicans, but B, also of activists. And for any campaign that's interested in building a statewide organization, it's critical that they persuade large numbers of volunteers to come over to their side. And for better or for worse, most of the time, those volunteers are people who've been there for years, know what they're doing.
Now, you know these, you know pretty well who these people are. Who's going to win? Which way is it going to go?
You know, if I were a guessing person right now, I would say that one of the advantages that we have here in Florida, some may regard as a disadvantage, I think it's an advantage, is that we're a pretty good cross-section of the country as a whole. Florida is not an outlier. The reason we're a swing state is because we're closely balanced. You know, Democrats actually outnumber us in registration. And elections go back and forth. You know, Republicans have had a good win streak in recent years, particularly at the state level. But, you know, Barack Obama won the state, obviously, in 2008. We're anxious to get it back. So what I'm saying is, a long-winded way of saying probably most of the numbers that you're going to see in Florida in most campaigns, in a presidential campaign, are going to be fairly close to what you'd see in national numbers because we do have a very representative sample. The state isn't – we're not eccentric here. We're a pretty good cross-section of the country. Therefore, it's a long way of, a winded way of saying the national polls currently show Perry ahead a bit of Romney, and I would expect that's probably what we're going to see tomorrow.
So you don't think his stance on Social Security, his famous comment about Social Security, is going to hurt him with our older demographic?
You know, to be honest with you, and I'm not endorsing anybody here in this process, but to be honest with you, I think almost everybody in the media and elsewhere absolutely misreads his comment. I think, and I don't mean misunderstood, I mean misinterprets the impact. I think that the vast majority of Americans, including many elderly citizens, understand that much of what Rick Perry said about Social Security is, in fact, right on the money. It is, in fact, at least in a couple of levels of analysis, a kind of Ponzi scheme. That doesn't mean that it ought to be stopped immediately. It doesn't mean that checks to senior citizens should be halted. I don't think any Republican candidate, including Rick Perry, make that argument. But it is a good way of capturing why it is that the system is not going to remain sound in the long term unless we make serious changes to it. And I think you're going to discover that among citizens at large and among senior citizens, there will actually be more support for Perry afterwards because he had the guts to say something that virtually every American already knows, and people appreciate that.
So you have about 3,500 Republican activists gathering here this weekend in Orange County, meeting the candidates and attending the workshops and listening to the speeches. For you, Lou, as chairman of the Republican Party here in the county where this event is being held, describe for me, if you will, why this event is so important for Republicans as we move into the election season.
We are extremely excited about this because, you know, this is how we build our volunteer corps. When people come to events like this, when they see the candidates face to face, when they shake their hands, they look at them square in the eye, maybe hear them several times, they make decisions, they become more committed, and these are volunteers that we can take to the streets. And here's another critical factor, something that people outside of politics maybe don't think of very often. And that is that if you give people a chance to have a real say in who the party's nominee is, then they're much likelier to support the ultimate nominee, even if it wasn't their choice, because they know they were consulted. And that's really important. If you feel that your party's nominee was handed to you by outside forces and that nobody even consulted you, they didn't ask your opinion, and your opinion didn't matter, then your level of enthusiasm for the ultimate nominee, if it doesn't happen to be your guy or gal, is lower. And so this kind of participatory process where people have a chance to look in their eyes, shake their hands, listen to them personally, and cast a vote in a straw poll gives those folks a sense of empowerment about really having control of the process, so that even if their person loses, and by the way, even if Rick Perry, for example, has a third of the votes, that's still two-thirds he doesn't have, right? I mean, a third would be very impressive, but still two-thirds of the folks out there not supporting him. But those two-thirds are more likely to support whoever the nominee is, whether it's Rick Perry or Michelle Bachmann or, you know, again, I'm not taking sides here, but whoever it is, if they felt that they had a chance to influence that process, which is, by the way, another reason why many of us in Florida are absolutely adamant that Florida's primary needs to go early, because we want our voters to feel that they had a genuine impact on the selection of the nominee and weren't consulted after the fact, after the thing was all over, and it was a fait accompli. And that's a better way to motivate our voters to go to the polls and vote for our candidate, even if that candidate wasn't their first choice.
But if the Republican National Committee then strips you of half the delegates, I mean, is it really worth it?
Yes. I'm not speaking for the Republican Party in this context. Some of my colleagues have a somewhat different point of view on the subject. It's understandable. They're volunteers. They'd like to be representatives and the like. But I think that the psychological impact is enormous. I don't think that if a candidate wins Florida and wins it fairly convincingly, I think that momentum, even if it's very clear that there'll be no delegates awarded as a consequence, that momentum will be so enormous that it cannot help but have a significant impact on the ultimate selection of the nominee. And I think the news coverage and others, even if we're stripped entirely of our delegates, which, by the way, I don't think is going to happen, but even if we were stripped entirely, I think that would end up being a footnote on the story. All the eyes are still going to be on the state of Florida, because we will have, 5.5-6 million Republicans that will be casting a vote, which will be a larger block of people offering an opinion than all of the previous four states combined, and probably several of the following states thrown into the mix. And in a state, again, that is highly representative of the nation as a whole, which I don't think you can say of any of the other four states that would come before us.